Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
On the west coast, 10:08 in the central part of the country where they got a little snow. Joining me from that part of the country is the All Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes. Kim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Matt.
Something,
can you hear me?
Well, it sounds like you're being muffled by something, like the microphone.
There
you go. What's going on, man?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right, there we
go. Did you have a headset on or something?
No, I just getting used to Skype.
All right, well, it takes a little bit of playing, messing around. How was your Christmas?
It was good. It was very private, just Beth and I.
Oh, so what'd you get?
Oh, I got a hat from J. Peterman Company.
Oh, J.
You know, the car hats that I like?
No, what kind of, describe it to me, J.
100% Irish linen and wool.
Like a roadster?
And,
like a roadster
so
hat?
Yeah.
So it's like a roadster hat?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
All right. Yeah.
But they, in their advertising, they call it a thug hat.
Why? What's the historical origin of thug hat?
I have no idea.
J. Peterman, J. Peterman just, thug hat. How about that?
Yeah. It's just a regular, car hat and, It's nice. It fits me. They have big hats for big heads.
What color is it?
It's brown. It's a plaid color. Brown with red and green and black stripes in it.
I'm looking at it. I like that one. I like the print. I like it. The tweed looks a little bit too much like Sherlock Holmes.
I have one of those.
You
the
do.
Black tweed.
You're not really Sherlock Holmes. You're more of a criminal type than you are the...
Yeah. I'm more a thug than a Sherlock.
Well, I don't know about thug. You're kind of maybe just like a low-end, mischievous criminal. Not so much a thug. You're more of a lover than a thugger.
I don't go around beating people up.
You're a hippie, man.
Babe Rum. That I've been looking for a long time, and they finally started getting it back in. That's my favorite catalog.
J. Peterman, I don't have one. Wasn't that was made famous by Seinfeld, wasn't it?
Seinfeld. Yeah. What's her name? Work for J. Peterman.
Yeah, Elaine.
Julia
Marie Dreyfus. Remember the guy who played Mr. Peterman, that bombastic jackass? He was funny, though.
Yeah, he was funny.
He was. I was in the, I don't know. I was in so-and-so on the Serengeti, and it came to me, Elaine. Under the hazy fog of 15 bales of opium.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he would say shit like that. You'd be like, what the hell? And then he'd tell her.
Yeah.
Then he'd tell her to do something crazy, and that would be part, that would be the theme of the show that day. So always funny, always funny. What else am I going to ask? You know, I went to see, I don't know if you've seen it advertised, because you're a movie guy, but Colleen and I yesterday went to see a movie called They Shall Not Grow Old, written by, done by a guy named Peter Jackson, who did Lord of the Rings.
Yes, yes.
It was about World War One, and he took all this film, and he digitized it, and he colored it, and it's absolutely mind-blowing.
It's called They Were Young?
It's called They Shall Not Grow Old. And it showed on December 17th around the country and December 27th around the country, just those 2 days. And I guess it's going to open up, it's going to show other places on Super Bowl weekend and ultimately come out in DVD format. So, it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing, look, Kim, at a bygone time and place, and a look into how soldiers during World War One lived in those trenches in France, and the society they came from, and all kinds of stuff. But it's amazing watching the, you know, now colorized pictures of their lives, and it's almost like it comes from this two-dimensional. And the other thing he did was, you know, at the end of it, after the film ends and they roll the credits, he does about 30 minutes of, you know, how they made it and things like that. If you noticed film of years ago, everybody's walking at 100 miles an hour, right? I mean, the film's really fast. And he talks about how many frames per second, and they were hand-winding cameras. And so now with the wonders of digital, you know, imagery and techniques, they can slow all that stuff down. And he said virtually every we had to do this with every piece of film we got, which is to get, you know, the frames per second right, because that defined, you know, people walking. And so he's, you know, they showed like it in the normal speed that you would see this video, and it's like, you know, people from World War One, they're like marching around at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you see it, you know, in its appropriate film speed setting, and it becomes more and more normal, and it is really amazing. I think you would absolutely love it, given your love of history and your father having fought in World War II. It's a very interesting glimpse into that world, and wasn't very pleasant either. So
my grandfather was in World War One.
Was he? Yeah, as was mine. I was talking earlier that Colleen, when she was in at Ellis Island, she said, "Did we have anybody that came through Ellis Island?" I said, "Yeah," and I sent her a certificate that I found online that showed my grandfather, the ship that he came over on, and then they've digitized the log so you can get a certificate with an image of the ship. And then the line that he appears under, right, and his name, his age, and his place of origin. And all that was, and so I sent it to her. And so there's a wall on Ellis Island with the names of all these different immigrants who came through there. And she found his name. And so she was connected, but he came over to the United States in 1914 and then turned around and went back. And fought in every major battle that the Americans fought in the United States only was in the war for about a year, late 1917 and 1918. The war started in 1914. So it had drug out for 3+ years by the time it ended on November 11th. So, and I will tell you what surprised me. So we're walking out of the theater and Colleen waves to somebody and she said, "I can't believe how many people I knew in there." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, there's one of my history teachers was in there. There's a whole bunch of kids I knew in there." And I thought, wow, how cool is that? And the theater was sold out. It was packed.
Yeah,
and so, I mean, I guess you, for a limited showing, I guess you would expect that. But I was, we walked in, I was, we sat in like the third row from the front, like staring straight up. And, but it, I thought, I was, I didn't know what to expect, you know, what the appetite would be at a 1 o'clock, at a matinee showing of this movie. So, very cool. Very cool. Very cool. So I would recommend that to you. I give it 4 thumbs up.
Good. Right. Right. Station, not cool.
We have a, I have some more prime rib questions for you.
Okay.
All right. one of my friends decided to make one, and so it became a little bit of a subject of discussion. So, talk to me about how much prime rib costs.
Well, it probably a whole prime rib would be somewhere between $60 and $100 for a 12-pound prime rib.
Okay.
Trim. You know, with the bone out. You know, I'm staying at Sam's Club or Costco.
Okay.
When you go in, they're all cryovac, and they're around 10 to 12 pounds. And I suspect it's about, $10 a pound, maybe, $8 to $10 a pound. I haven't bought one in a long time, so since last year, since we did that, we cooked it in our oven.
Okay, but so 8 to 10 pounds is ballpark for prime rib?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Put you in. And they go up to 15, 16 pounds. Depends how many people you're feeding.
Okay, and I had somebody ask me another question, and it was about creating the crust on the prime rib. Could you go over how that crust is created? So you have your own, for everybody, when I put this segment up, I'll put the link to Kim's prime rib recipe on there. You can find it right now if you go to the Almarine Radio website. You click on the blog. You see the picture of Kim in his lab coat. And then and from there, standing behind the bar at Sanders 1907 in beautiful downtown Grand Forks. Sanders had a theme song, for those of you who don't know that. And I'm going to play it for you right now. Oh, that's a Notre Dame fight song. Oh, that's not it. Anyway, Sanders never had a fight theme song. I was just kidding. Notre Dame plays Clemson tomorrow. Big game for all of us Notre Dame people. Yep. Okay. Oh my God. You know the first video that comes up? So I got that off YouTube, right?
Yes.
Okay. Next one is World Series, 1986, Game 6, Scully calls Mookie Wilson's epic at-bat. Are you kidding me? Why would that come up on my computer? Isn't there a way for me to block that stuff? I lived that once. I don't need to see that shit again. What the hell? You would think, what happened about artificial intelligence? They should know. Oh, don't go there with him. Unbelievable. Anyway, so the crust.
The key to the prime rib crust.
Yes.
Okay. What's the key is your oven is on as hot as it go, hopefully 550 degrees at least.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Well, my oven, my regular, I don't have a commercial oven, my domestic household oven, will it go that hot?
It should go to 500 degrees for sure.
Okay.
And that's okay. But if you can get it to 550 or however hot, and make sure you check the, you put a separate thermostat gauge in the oven to make sure it's that hot.
Right.
And the added bonus, folks, if you have a convection oven, that's a fan that circulates the air in the oven. That is done for baking, and there's no hot spots when you have a fan to circulate the heat.
Explain hot spots for those of us who are challenged, oven challenged.
Okay. When you have a regular oven like my mother grew up with and your mother, it was on or off, and it had a temperature gauge. But that temperature, if it was in the center, was probably spot on. But if you were in one corner or one side or higher or lower, the temperature would be different. Just because of the way the heat comes out of the oven, in the oven. So with a fan on there, it circulates all the heat all over the, distributes it all over the oven. So the temperature is the same any spot for, so when you bake, you don't have to rotate the muffins or whatever you're baking, cupcakes,
right,
cookies, and it's constant. So, that's what, but if you don't have it, it's okay. But you don't necessarily need it. Just makes the crust, it cooks faster. The crust is a little nicer.
Convection oven balances the heat throughout the oven.
Yes.
Okay.
That first half, 45 minutes to an hour, depending on the size of your roast, that's what creates the crust, that intense hot heat. It sears the meat, so it keeps the juices inside. And then, at the end of that time length, when you shut your oven off, and emphasis, do not open the oven door for at least 1 hour to 1 hour and 15 minutes. Do I make myself perfectly clear?
Wait, yes, you do. But I thought it was don't open the oven door, period.
Yeah, you don't. You have to eat the meat.
Oh,
so.
What did you just say to me? We have to eat the meat? Did you go there? Why would you want to ruin a perfectly friendly conversation saying some punk-ass bullshit to me?
You're the only one that can make a joke on this show? Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's not far from the truth, just so you know. And you've lived that. But you don't open the door throughout, right? Because this thing's going to cook for how long?
It's going to cook for 45 to 60 minutes, depending on the size of your prime rib. At the end of that time, the only move you make toward that oven is to shut it off and let the heat dissipate inside the oven with the oven door completely shut. If you have to duct tape the sucker shut to keep people from opening the oven door like you.
Okay, so how long is it now? I want to walk you down this road. So I have my digital meat thermometer, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll know what the internal temperature of medium rare prime rib or rare at the center prime rib is going to be. So that's easy for me. And if I have my digital meat thermometer, I stick it in there, and then it's going to cook for however long it needs to take for the internal temperature to get there, and I've already seared it and got the crust, so it sounds not too difficult for me to make.
No, it's not. The reason you don't open the oven door is because the outsides, because the heat starts at 550 and goes down to about 160 by the time you open the door. Consequently, all the juices stay in the roast and solidify with the meat and, you know, matriculate through the meat. So you don't have, if you pull that oven, that roast out, you know, we always talk about letting things rest, when, like the bird,
yes,
that thing.
Yes.
So the juices settle in the meat. And this is the same principle. But when I had a wind oven, when we started Sanders, we didn't have the prime rib alto sham. We just had an oven with a pan in it, a convection oven. And this is the method we developed. And after the hour, when we started serving, we would pull the roast out, slice it, put it back in the oven. And if it was, you know, door was opening and closing, every once in a while, we'd give it a blast for 5 minutes on 550 just to make sure everything's still warm, that the roast doesn't cool down from opening and closing the door a lot. So that's the key to the highway is keeping the door shut after the, and you can have the digital thermometer in there, check it. It'll be mediums on the end and medium rare. It should be medium on the end and medium rare in the middle. And if it reaches, your internal temperature of 120 to 140 for rare to medium rare, in 50 minutes, and you've got a large roast, you can still shut your oven off. That'll just give you the time to shut your oven off and keep the door shut, because it'll finish cooking the rest of the roast on the ends. It'll be a little more done than in the center. Okay?
Got it. I want to ask you a prime rib etiquette question.
Yes.
Is it appropriate for me just to ask for, like, the crust? I just want, like, an inch and a half section. I don't want I don't want the center of the prime rib. Is that like, you wouldn't do that? Is that, like, wrong?
No. What you ask for is an end cut. If you are fortunate enough. And that's what sold out first at Sanders, were the end cuts, because of the crust, the bark. And so if it's your house, you can offer an end cut to anybody else, but the one end cut is yours.
the one end cut is yours.
I think it. Because I know how much you like the crust, and so my
it's to die for, right?
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the end cut is just as juicy as the center. It's on the medium to medium, medium towards the rare. It's still pink, nice and pink inside, and it's absolutely the best.
And for the seasoning,
you know.
Yeah. No, the seasoning is awesome. The I had one more prime rib question.
Sure.
About, because everybody has a little bit different way of doing it, and you know, Kim's recipe is on the website. Again, go to the website. Go to the blog. You'll see him in his lab coat. Click on that, and then click on the link that says you can find all his recipes here. Click. That'll take you to all the recipes. Scroll down to Sanders Famous, I think, and you'll see prime rib. You'll see about six different images. The top one is a picture, and the second picture is a picture of the prime rib dressed before it goes in. And then you see different pictures of it after it comes out.
Matt.
What's that?
One other thing about the prime rib.
Yes, sir.
Is please let your roast come to room temperature before you put it in the oven. Okay? Yeah. While, you know, you pull it out an hour before you stick it in the oven, no matter how long your oven takes to preheat. That's it.
You know, and if that's important in normal meat and you emphasize that constantly when you're going to don't shock the monkey, okay? Don't take it from cold to hot, right? The change has an effect on the cut of meat, chicken, poultry, whatever. But I would think it would be especially so for thicker cuts of meat.
Yes, it will. It'll tend to be tough. The meat will tend to be tough if you throw it in cold to hot.
Got it. Okay, email. Matt, could he go over his sauce one more time? Yeah, I did not know that you put mayonnaise or lemon juice into your little thing.
I do occasionally for myself, but it's such a minute amount. Basically, what you want is sour cream and horseradish. And I would start out 50-50, depending on the heat of the horseradish. And I like a little lemon juice in that mix. Not much. Take a half a lemon and just squeeze it and then mix it up thoroughly, then taste it. And you don't want the lemon juice to be a dominant flavor.
Right.
You want it to just mellow. It's a flavor when you blend spices. You can't put your finger on it, but you know it's a little different and you like it. That's what spices and seasonings do. But the horseradish, you want to know it's there.
Got it. All right, next question. So it's 50-50, and you would say experiment with a little bit of mayonnaise and lemon, see if you like it?
Yes. Yeah, it's a personal hit, but the mayonnaise, like, say you do half sour cream, half horseradish, say you do a cup of sour cream, if you're making a big batch, a cup of horseradish, a cup of sour cream, you taste it, and then if you want to add a tablespoon of mayonnaise, that'll give it a little creaminess, but you won't probably taste the mayonnaise, but it'll give it a little base and a little squeeze of lemon juice. Now, if it needs more, if it's too hot for you, then you add more sour cream, but if you like Mac and I, you might probably want to add more horseradish.
Not too much, though. Okay.
Okay. Not too much. I like the heat.
I do too. I like a little bit of it, but I don't like my sinuses. Right. I don't like my sinuses opened up that wide.
Well, I've had horseradish that brought me to tears, out my nose, out my ass. The thing is, you got to be careful with horseradish. I remember somebody used to bring in some horseradish root for me to grate fresh horseradish.
Oh, man.
And he said, wear a mask. I said, what are you talking about?
I'm Butch.
He said, surgical masks over your nose. In your mouth, or you're going to hurt yourself. And I kind of blew him off. I started grinding it about 30 seconds in. I dropped the horseradish root. I dropped the grater. I drank some milk. I threw water in my eyes.
You know what? Listen to this. Colleen said the more experienced girl she plays water polo with says that when your eyes get really irritated, you know what you put on them?
What?
Milk.
Oh, really?
I'd never heard that before.
Me neither.
Because we were,
Wow.
Yeah, cool. we were, she came back, I don't know if she had a game or practice or whatever, and, she said, Dad, my eyes are burning. I have some really good drops. I mean, they cost like about $15 for the whole dropper,
yeah.
But, they're really good. And, so she said, no, I'll just use milk. I said, milk? She said, yep. She said, that's what the girls that play say to use. So I asked her the other day, does it work? She said, oh yeah, it calms down, just that burning in your eyes, like really fast. Well, who knew?
Wow,
milk.
Who knew?
All right. So anything else about prime rib or the sauce? I can't say enough, especially with thicker cuts of meat. Get a digital meat thermometer because it takes all the guesswork out of it. Now, Kim's a pro, and for those of us that operate, you know, what is standard procedure? It is cutting into the prime rib halfway and taking a look, right? That's what you see the majority of people I know. What's it look like inside? Is it too pink? Well, with a digital meat thermometer, and especially thick cuts of meat, you steak in a bag with a digital meat thermometer. The meat's in a bag, for God's sake. You have no idea.
In a bag.
What's that?
You bread that meat in the bag.
Yeah, it's breaded, and then you stick inside the bag. You have no clue. You're just going on math. The math of the it's supposed to be between 1.5 and 2 inches thick. Your oven's at this, and you hope when you pull it out that it's not too tough. Well, with the digital meat thermometer, takes the guesswork out of that. Same thing with thick steaks, with fillets, and then certainly with prime rib. It takes all the guesswork out of that in terms of internal temperature and having it come out great. So, again, and they're not very cheap. I mean, they're not very expensive. You can spend $40 and, you know, the digital readout, it's Bluetooth, comes on your phone. But I would think for prime rib, it is absolutely essential. And, very, very cool. What, all right, are you ready to pick some winners? Kim is also our sports prognosticator, and a big weekend of college football.
A huge weekend. Yeah, let's go, baby.
All right, so the key game.
It's only 30 below zero here with the wind chill.
Is it? We don't care about wind chill. We just care about air temperature, okay?
Air temperature is zero.
Wind chill is for sissies. Okay. So, and how much snow did you get? I saw that lots of snow got dropped.
6 inches.
Whoa. There's a little bit.
With 40 to 50 mile per hour winds yesterday that kicked the area's butt.
Did they close the interstate? That's a blizzard.
Yeah.
That's a blizzard, sports fan.
In border, yeah. I think it was down to the South Dakota border, too.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's when there's visibility sucks so bad that it's not even safe for people to come out to get you. So, but you know what? The thing that's amazing is do you think people respect that? No. And they tell you, look, we can't come get you, just so you know. If you choose, and there's metal gates that get closed, so in order to get on the interstate, you have to drive around these things. You think people do it? Of course they do.
And so, stupid people.
Yeah, but whatever. You better have your emergency kit, and you better have a lot of it, because you're going to be there for a while.
go ahead.
All right, Clemson and Notre Dame. Clemson is how many point favorite?
I don't know. But I would take probably Notre Dame is going to win by at least a touchdown.
Wait,
seven.
Are you guessing with your heart? No, nobody's giving Nobody's calling Notre Dame a straight-up winner.
Nobody's picking Notre Dame a straight-up winner?
Nobody.
Well, they're foolish.
Really? Well, somebody sure as hell is.
Okay. Aren't they 10-0 this year?
No, they're
12. They're 11.
They're 12.
They did not lose the game, did they?
No, they're undefeated. But Clemson, yeah. Come on. Clemson pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you want to take Clemson?
That includes picking Notre Dame to cover the 10-point spread. Oh.
Got your questions to the nightclub here.
Hold on.
And if you lost, just...
Let's see. The Tigers, however, have been more dominant, and they're favored by 12.5 points in the latest Notre Dame versus Clemson odds. Originally posted at 11 points, the money came in, and the odds have now moved to 12.5 points. So, Notre Dame? Clemson will beat. Clemson's favored by 12.5 points.
Well, I'd take that bet. I'd take Notre Dame in the points.
All right, there you have it. Taking Notre Dame and the points. Okay, what about Alabama and Oklahoma?
Go ahead. What's the spread?
Stand by. Why does everybody need to know where I am?
Because you're special.
Why does everybody want to know where the hell I am? See, this sports betting stuff gets so complicated. Let's see. Best Oklahoma spread is Alabama is a 14-point favorite.
Then I think I would take Oklahoma and the points.
So you would take Oklahoma and the 14 points to cover?
Yes.
All right.
Did you see Oklahoma's last football game?
I did. I was a little bit impressed. They can put some points. They can put some points. They're going to give up some points. They have the predicted score is Alabama 53, Oklahoma 36. I don't know when the last time Oklahoma scored 36 points, man, but they can put them up. They can put up points with anybody.
Yeah. Alabama is they're the best team over the last 5-6 years in college football. But
okay. Yeah. All right. Listen to this. This is Oklahoma's last 10 games. Army. They only beat Army 28-21. Army, though, winds up a top 25 football team and just hammered somebody in a bowl game that I didn't watch. So they score 28 points against Army. Against Baylor, they score 66. Against Texas, they score 45. Against TCU, they score 52. Against Kansas State, 51. Against Texas Tech, 51. Against Oklahoma State, 48. Against Kansas, 55. Against West Virginia. They score 59. And against Texas again? Another Texas team. In the conference championship, they scored 39. And their games are shootouts. Army, 28-21. Baylor, 65-33. But listen to this. Texas, they lose 48-45. TCU, 52-27. Kansas State, 51-14. But Texas Tech, 51-46. Oklahoma State, 48-47. Kansas, 55-40. West Virginia, 59-56. I mean, they played some crazy, crazy games. Predicting that they're only going to score 34 points or 36 points, that's crazy. That kid can play and he can throw. And Alabama.
Major League Baseball contract.
Yeah, he's going to be. You know what? And he's not that big. And I've heard him say that he's rethinking that. and blah, blah, and blah, 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 blah. I think that, that would be a mistake. Because in that league, with the guys who run the way they do, and he'll make much more money in baseball and have a much longer career. Although maybe he wants to be Russell Wilson, and if that's the case. But, again, he's not going to make more money than he's going to make in baseball. So, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good move. He's not a big guy either. Not a big guy. Okay, so, and then we'll go, so it'd be Alabama, Notre Dame again, according to your prediction. Either way, you know, these four teams are all great. They're all great teams, fun to watch. Notre Dame, though, their presence means that there's no Big Ten champion involved in it, right? Ohio State did not get invited because Notre Dame got in. So the question that's been kicked around is, do you think this should expand to 8 teams and go 3 weekends?
I think yes, absolutely, 100% yes. They should be 8 to 12 teams in the playoffs.
You know, and
certainly the top 10 should have a playoff.
Well, it's got to be, it could only be 8. If it's 8, then it's automatic in when you win your conference, and you can name the conferences. You can name the Pac-12, the Big Ten, what's the one? The Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC. That's what, 5, 6 right there?
Yeah.
And then you might have an independent, an invite for an independent slot. And then you have your tournament.
I like 8 teams. I think that would be a great playoff. I think it'd be more equitable.
Well, the other thing is that the argument was, well, these are student athletes, and now they're going to play. How many games can they play in a year? And so, and that's a good question. Now, you're not going to get the universities to give up any football dates and say, okay, instead of playing 12 games and your conference championship, right, and then starting a 3, if you win, you're going to play 3 games, okay? So now you've added a conference championship, and you normally that would be the bowl game, and now you've added 3 games beyond that for the teams that are going to go all the way. That's a lot. That's a lot of football. That's a lot more football. Now you're talking about, instead of playing 11, 12 games, you're talking about playing 14, 15 games. So.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's a lot of games. But the reason, and so then one of the remedies would be, okay, let's say you can only play 10 games in the regular season, and we won't start in the last week of August. We'll start in September like we used to start. And you know what the response, you know what the response from universities is going to be to that? Stick it up your ass. Those are huge money makers for us.
The thing is that the first one or two games that every team plays is with an easy opponent. It's like preseason in pro football.
Yeah, but there's less of that now.
Eliminate that first game. Yeah, I know from 11 games down to 10.
I know, but there's less.
And play your start your conference right away. Get into it.
Right. No, you're right. Those are kind of luxury games that, but there's less of that because of the factoring strength of schedule in to when who's going to qualify for the final four teams. But I think ultimately it should go to 8 teams because I think it makes the most sense. So
I think so. I agree.
Interesting. So all right. So you're saying take Notre Dame straight up and take Oklahoma to cover.
Yeah.
Alabama to win, Oklahoma to cover.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep, that's kind of how I figure it.
All right. Are you gonna be parked in front of the TV and watch, or will you watch tapes? or whatnot?
No, I watch the football. So I love this time of year. I'll also, that's the 5th. The Bison play Eastern Washington on the 5th of January.
Is that for the FCS National Championship?
Yeah. Yes.
The Bison, for those of you who don't know, are North Dakota State University or football team, and they've had one of the most impressive runs of any football program in any division over the course of about the last 10 years or so. They've been pretty
good. Eight of the last 7 national titles.
Wait, 8 out of the last 7?
No, I mean 7 out of the last 8. Excuse me.
I was going to say, that's pretty good if you can win 8 out of 7. You're going places with that one.
Yeah, well, I was picking this year. that's right. That's going to be a good game, though.
Right. Well, hopefully they all will be. It's a fun day, though, because, you know, all the teams involved have great traditions. As you don't get this far without having pretty big-time football program. But, you know, Notre Dame, second to none in terms of history and tradition and pageantry. You have Clemson, who has such a great following. And then Alabama, you know, there's been no stronger football program since Luke Saban went there. Alabama and LSU were neck and neck, and Alabama has left them in the dust. It is the place to play if you're a football player. And you want to go to the NFL and you want to play in the best program in the country, Alabama would be your top choice if they come calling. And then Oklahoma, which obviously goes back years and years as a prominent football program. So it'll be very cool. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, the Big Ten not being involved in it is a huge blow to their reputation as a conference. So I do think, though, The NCAA, you know, kind of by doing things the way they did them, they forced teams to go into these bigger conferences, right? I mean, the Southwest Conference went away. For years and years, it was, you know, the home of Texas and Oklahoma, you know, I think, right? I mean, so that it completely went away in favor of these bigger conferences that you now have. And so that lended itself to this kind of migration to a national championship. And so it was, it seems like there should be a wire diagram that takes those major conferences into a playoff. And I don't think 4 teams does it. I don't think 4 teams does it. So I heard, a few months ago that the committee that says, yeah, there's no appetite for that. Well, I can tell you what, there's an appetite in the nation for it. And the NCAA, Kim, and I both know from years and years of watching their dealings at the University of North Dakota, is about one thing. Okay?
Money.
That's right. Cha-ching. That is the NCAA. Student-athletes?
Clean energy.
Yeah. Student-athletes, not so much. The NCAA does money. So one of the worst, I mean, organizations. You watching that stuff up at Michigan State with the gymnastics program and all that shit? Do you mean to tell me that nobody knew anything about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got some oceanfront property in Kansas that I want to sell you, if you believe that.
Yeah. Complete with no palm trees.
Yeah. I mean, you hear that stuff, and it's absolutely ridiculous when you hear it.
Yeah.
Here's an email. I think Clemson will smoke Notre Dame. Notre Dame is out of its class. I know they've had some impressive games to include their victory earlier this year over Georgia. Yeah, you know, I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I don't know that I can I can look at it unbiased this year. But when you look at Notre Dame, you look at their schedule and, you know, who they played. They beat Michigan, right? Michigan ended the year ranked number 7. Notre Dame beat them in South Bend. They beat Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt went to a bowl game. They beat Stanford. They beat Pitt. They beat Northwestern, who wound up playing for the championship of the Big Ten. They beat Syracuse. Yep. They beat they beat USC. They beat Florida State, which everybody did. They beat Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, not the team they were. Notre Dame, pretty impressive resume. Although I'm a fan, I'm biased. So, it should be. It's one of the cool weekends. All the pageantry of college football teed up, and it'll be great venues. I don't even know where they're playing this year, but I'm fired up about it. How about plans for New Year's? You gonna do low key New Year's this year?
I'm going to eat some clams.
Some prime rib?
No, some oysters, clams, and drink a Veuve Clicquot Yellow Label champagne.
Whoa.
That's what I'm doing for New Year's Eve. No prime rib this New Year's Eve. Just going to eat fish, shellfish. And I'm getting it, the fish from my place in Washington State that I've where I used to live, Port Townsend. And let me tell you, folks, I'll give you a tip. If you want fresh fish, if you don't live by a fish market on either coast, if you're landlocked like I am, it's great. Absolutely. It's called Key City Fish, Port Townsend, Washington.
Key. Oh, Key City.
Key City Fish. Now, I ordered fresh mussels, fresh clams, and fresh oysters. And they were shucked, and they came in jars. If you know how to shuck them, then you can order them in the shell. But I like them just right out of the jar. They're not fishy. They're spectacular. And, I make a cocktail sauce and, dunk them right in there and gulp them, eat them up. But yeah, then I'll do some fried oysters with them too. Bread them and stuff. But, I like the seafood and they have great seafood. Not only that, that's one of the areas for Dungeness crab. You can get whole cooked 2 pounds and up Dungeness crabs, and they're overnight shipped. Now, here's the hard part. It costs as much to ship it as it does to buy it.
Why?
Because it's overnight UPS. And if you want fish, you're going to pay for it.
Right.
And it's not Key City. It's FedEx. Not FedEx.
UPS.
UPS. But I tell you what, I called at noon my time. I got it at by 10 o'clock the next morning.
Whoa.
Yeah. In North Dakota. Hello.
Yeah, in North Dakota. So the path of that, it goes from wherever to the UPS collection site up to North Dakota by 10 in 22 hours. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's right. And for me, because Beth and I don't order the fish that much from there, but when we do, it's as good as it gets for us because, you know, that's about as close to a fresh fish market as I can get. Yeah, they have fresh fish at salmon and fresh frozen fish at the local grocery store here, but the fresh salmon is farm raised, not wild caught. I like wild caught fish. They're not raised in pens in the ocean. So it's just a matter of preference, but, yeah, it costs as much to ship as it does to buy. In fact, it costs just a hair more to ship than buy. But if you're a fish nut like we are, it's worth the price once in a while. But
if I'm going to make prime rib, I'm going to serve carrot casserole with it. What else should I serve with the prime rib and the carrot casserole?
I would serve a twice baked potato.
Got it.
Because you can dice up bacon bits, green onions, whatever your favorite cheese is, whether it's Jack or cheddar, or Swiss cheese, it doesn't matter. You shred that after you're mashing your potatoes, and you've mashed your potatoes and they've cooled down a little bit, and you put your cheese in so it doesn't melt.
Right.
And then you stuff your potatoes and put them in the fridge.
Right.
And what I like to do is take a little bit of Parmesan, fresh grated Parmesan cheese, and put over the top of the potato before you bake it with a little dash of paprika for color.
Hello.
And then when that gets golden brown, it'll take about 20, 25 minutes in a 325 degree oven. And when that starts to get golden and crusty, then you can make those potatoes 1 or 2 days ahead, keep them in the fridge, and then just bake them off when your prime rib, comes out of the oven. You crank your oven up and throw them in.
All right. Well, we've done a little bit of work on prime rib, but we kind of talked about the recipe, but not kind of the deep dive stuff that we've talked about here the last couple of days. So again, first of all, thank you very much for the continued culinary consulting. We always appreciate it, and also for the sports prognostication. We love that as well. Now, truth be told, Kim is, would you say you win more than you lose, or you donate more than you gain? How would you describe your success relative to predicting?
I am like most gamblers, I'm a donator. That's why I don't do it too seriously, unless I have a lead pipe locked.
There you go.
Which again, very seldom, but
exactly.
The guy I bet with on a championship basis that I've bet with for, maybe 35 years, he is up right now, but I've been as far as $6,000 ahead.
Whoa.
On him. Now I'm upside down a couple of grand. But I'm going to double down on some bets this
year. Attaboy. We're going to make that money up. We're going to make it good. There you go. All right, sir. First of all, thank you very much for the visit, and have a great New Year's, and I will be talking to you.
You have a wonderful New Year's, and I'd love to talk to you this week because I saw the movie Vice yesterday about Dick Cheney.
Yeah, I've not read too much about it. Remember, that's not exactly.
It's a very depressing movie.
When you see what
happens there, it's very depressing. But I don't want to talk about it on the radio.
All right, I will give you a call, and you can fill me in.
I will.
All right, bud. All right.
Looking forward, and have a wonderful New Year. And what are you going to do?
I don't know. Colleen and I were talking about that. What's what's going to happen on New Year's. So I don't know. I might go up to Sacramento. I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't decided yet.
Well, you have a good one and drive carefully if you hit the highway.
I'm a pro. I will. Absolutely. All right, bud. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. The All Marine Radio head chef here on a Friday, as is our custom. Prime rib. Now I'm hungry for it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. I got a couple emails I want to get to that don't have anything. And then I've got a question. As he and I were sitting here talking, you know, the United States now out of the Middle East, and we'll watch the Middle East gyrate under Russian and Iranian influence that won't turn out well. The president tweeted that he might cut off aid to Honduras and El Salvador, and what's the other country? Anyhow, completely. The problem I have with what the president's doing is I don't have a problem with America first, but America still is the leader of the free world. And when you create vacuums, somebody will move into those vacuums. What happens if China gets on the phone with Honduras, El Salvador, and says, hey, don't worry about them backing out. Whatever they remove, you know, we want to operate your ports, and in exchange for that, we'll give you twice what the Americans give you every year. What happens if they say the same thing in China, in Afghanistan to the Afghan government? Hey, we want a stable, you know, we want a stable relationship, and we want a stable Afghanistan. Okay, after all, you know, we're neighbors. So go ahead and let the Americans leave, and we will we'll move into that. We'll move in, and we will send Chinese troops. Yeah, what happens if, I mean, because these vacuums will not go unfilled. So, it's a bit concerning, right? It's a bit concerning. So, you have Afghanistan, right? And to the west, you have Pakistan. You have Tajikistan, and then on the other side of that, you have China. China's a big place, man. And they've got a whole lot of terrain that's exactly like Afghanistan on the western side of the country. How they rule that, I mean, and then you go over the, I don't know, what mountains are these? You go, there's a spine of mountains that transition from, like, what would be coastal China that runs how many miles? I'm not good on my Chinese geography. So about 1,000 miles. And then you have a mountain range, and you go up into, I mean, this is, I think, the Takla, Taklimkar Desert, huge desert. The Tibetan Plateau, all China. It's amazing. The Chinese even give a shit about what's out there. Is that where their re-education camps are? Because we cannot have that. I mean, China's ginormous, man. Absolutely ginormous. Anyway, what happens if the Chinese move into these vacuums that get created? Is that a good thing for the world or a bad thing? In my opinion, it's the road to the United States becoming a marginal player in the world, and that's not a good thing from somebody who's been around the world. So I think Donald Trump's making serious mistakes, and I hope he's removed from office. Yeah, I support his policies. I think his foreign policy is reckless, and I think he's doing much of it, not because he believes in it. I believe that there's a continual shit disturber element that he uses to detract from the investigation that slowly but surely is going to find him as a culprit in something. And so he constantly seeks to throw shit up in the air. You know, the government shut down. Now that's going to turn into we're going to close all the border. Okay. And what is he wanted 20 million. Now he wants 5 million. So what's he going to settle for? He's going to settle for anything that allows him to save face. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, we'll take a break. More of Almarine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on Almarine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on Almarine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at AllMarineRadio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good,
but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Bells will be ringing.
Yeah, bells are done ringing. Anyway, that'll do it. Our holiday routine continues on Monday, so take a look at the news, and I don't know if we'll have a guest or not. I'd kind of like to have Jeff Kenny back on. If you missed the program yesterday, it's pretty interesting when we take a look at, we get the All Marine Radio crystal ball out. I probably should have Tom Drowdy on and let him look into his crystal ball. But I get the All Marine Radio crystal ball out yesterday. Jeff Kenny, Tim Lynch, both guys have served in Iraq and Afghanistan. What do they expect to happen in both? And the bottom line is both places will become much more violent. In Iraq, Syria, Kenny predicted, and indeed it is very much, and we used to see it all the time, right? You get a new police chief in Fallujah or Ramadi, right? After the ceremony's over, the first phone call the guy makes is to the Al-Qaeda cell leader in the area. Hey, Ahmad, Muhammad. Hey, look, we can do business, okay? There's no reason for us to fight each other and kill each other. We can make an arrangement. Very much the way of the Middle East. And I said earlier in the program, I think very much the way of the world. Although we probably don't want to think about it like that. So anyway, so Kenny said, what's going to happen in Syria? The Kurds will make a deal. So news today that the Syrian military moved into the town of Manbij. And that was the contested town that the Turks were telling President Trump that they were about ready to annihilate. And the Americans that were there with the Kurds, there was going to be a problem, okay? And so the President of the United States said, okay, then, yeah, no reason to do that. We'll just leave. How about that? So the Kurds will cut a deal. So the Syrians and the Russians will guarantee it. Why does that make me feel uneasy? And that once they begin to get after each other, that will return to its state of civil war. The Syrian army does not have, unless the Russians help them, the Syrian army does not have the ass to go get the Kurds. And even if they did, what would happen is they'd force them out of an area, and then they'd do the IED and ambush thing. So you would have what you've had for the last how many years continuing, and everything being destroyed. So that's the crystal ball. Deals, right? Iraq will continue to flail, right? The Kurds now have watched all this in the north. They want an independent state, but they'll cut a deal. The Iraqis need their oil revenue. So they won't be an independent state, although they will largely function as one. ISIS will reestablish itself. Now the United States says, oh, we're not leaving Iraq. We're going to stay to make sure ISIS doesn't reestablish himself. So this kind of morphing American foreign policy after the president's statements, people trying to get him, in my opinion, what his advisors are trying to do is trying to slow roll him in an effort to do damage control over the statements that he makes. Yeah, we said we were leaving, but we left two firm bases. That's what we did. And we moved those people just to here, and they can easily get back there if they need to. So we'll see. We shall see. And then, again, Afghanistan. How pissed are the Afghans going to be when, for the second time, the United States, who, you know, as recently as a month ago said, you know, everything we do in Afghanistan will be conditions-based, not timeline-based. Lie to us again. Done doing business with the Americans. Question is, American money guarantees the existence of the federal government. So what happens when the money runs out? And so yesterday the consensus was the Taliban will take over the rural territories and Jarrah, the federal government of Afghanistan, will continue to control the major cities. At some point, the Taliban will move into the major cities, and they will begin to contest that. Yeah. So, interesting stuff. But the first iteration of that is Jeff Kenney's prediction that the Kurds would make a deal. And the question that begs is, you know, are the Russians behind this? Are the Russians behind the Erdogan's phone call, and had the Russians already brokered this deal just to get the United States out of the region? And if you believe in coincidences, I've got some swampland for you. Anyhow, that'll do it. Have a great weekend. Go Irish. Yeah, don't be afraid to say a prayer for your country. On a Friday, the last Friday of 2018, All Marine Radio, over and out.